This is episode 80 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from G.O. Turner's book, UFO Science, Crop Circle Casework. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to read from chapter 14, which is titled Non-Human Intelligence Best Cases, and this is what Gary has written. Given its nature, I experienced several unexpected twists and turns coming to grips with the phenomena. It made narrowing down my best exhibits challenging. There are many expert opinions on how to qualify a non-human circle. I had to make determinations for what criteria would differentiate. Then there's the misinformation. Forgive the pun, but the field is flooded with red herrings. Each metaphorical one vies for attention, attempting to hook me with, "I'm the real deal." While the intent of this chapter is to avoid misinformation, we will cover that topic before our guide is done. Believe that. And just like with UFO Science Book 1, I presented those physics theories about UAP without picking winners and losers. Here, I'm not stating the evidence comes as definitive answers. I'll leave it to your critical thinking. You decide what is plausible or not. You may notice that some of the most famous circles are not at the top of my list. Those will be further along. I'm beginning with some of the best cases. These are the most unexplainable to date. Then we'll transition into those crop circles the community considers more revered, followed by some disputable ones. Golden Ball Hill, Wiltshire, UK. May 1st, 2005. Discovered in a field of canola, rapeseed, this 115-foot diameter formation is a prime candidate for non-human creation. It appeared alongside a ghost circle of the previous year's formation. That ghost was formed in wheat and called the dolphin based on its apparent mirrored shapes. Other than not being wheat, the major difference with the 2005 one is a flowering crop. When examined close up, none of the flowers have been damaged in the flattening process. They appear as gently laid, yet with clear delineation from inside the circle. How could one create this using ropes and boards? Well, 10 years later, we got our answer thanks to the History Channel's Ancient Aliens series. During Season 10, Episode 8, Giorgio Tsoukalos commissioned our famed circle makers to undertake a rope and board recreation of this exact circle. From the air, it turned out to be a near-perfect match. However, from close up, there is a stark difference. The flowers were wrecked under the board-stomping method. With the original 2005 circle, none of the flower heads were damaged or destroyed. This demonstrates an effect which cannot be achieved using such blunt tools. After consulting with another circle maker, I posited an alternative hypothesis for the undamaged 2005 flowers. What if someone had flattened the crop before the stalks had flowered? Then, given a day or two to recover, the flowers would bloom and reassert growth. Ta-da! I was informed that attempting to flatten rapeseed before flowering, while the stalks are still green, is like snapping celery. The stems will break if one tries too soon. To this day, even those renowned experts admit to being unable to recreate this gentle laying of the plant's effect. Osborne St. George, Wiltshire, UK, June 15, 2003. This wheat field presents another strong case. At nearly 500 feet or 152 metres in diameter, the formation is comprised of 19 concentric circles. Off the top, its location is somewhat remote. It couldn't be spotted from a main thoroughfare. The only access remotely close was a farmer's dirt road. Researchers had a foot hike for a few miles over hill and dale to reach it. One might imagine that if humans were looking to get attention for their work, they place it somewhere accessible, like the vast majority of others. What makes the Ogbourne circle case unique is the nature of its flattening. Most circles are completely flattened at the stalk's base. This creates a simple binary option. A stalk is either flattened or upright. However, these circles are only somewhat bent midway up. It's like the stalks were gently pressed. Many sections are only a few inches from the top. Circles were composed of undulating depression layers, sort of like grooves on a vinyl album. Think about it. How could this be achieved with ropes and boards? I'll posit a knee-jerk response. Well, the wheat was quite green. It was clearly noted by photos and reports that the field was in its young growth phase. Couldn't this simply be healthy plants reasserting their growth upward? No. Again, the bends did not happen at the base, but midway up. Also, the grooves formed delineated channels around the circle. Clearly, this was not a natural growth pattern. And I'll also sprinkle on a classic bit of crop circle phenomena. Stuart Dyke and Mark Fussell of the Crop Circle Connector site reported capturing photos and videos of several balls of light flying in proximity to the circles. It should also be noted that a 100-foot wheat circle containing a hexagon was discovered on the same day. The second formation was only a 30-minute drive from the St. Ogborne one in All Cannings. There's nothing particularly unusual about this formation, but it does bring them to question the likelihood of two separate teams working on the same night. The Ninth Tail Circle, Stad Canal, the Netherlands, approximately July 25th, 2001, reported on August 1st. A farmer discovered this in his wheat field but held off reporting it for a week. At that point, Dutch researchers Eljo Hasselhoff, Jan Wilhelm Bobbink and Robert Boerman made their initial trek. At the edge of the large central ring, the wheat had somehow been laid beneath the grass and stinging nettles. Along the formation's border, they also collected burnt leaves for study. After wrapping up their initial report, they moved on. Yet later, for unknown reasons, they felt a second look might be warranted. Returning on August 7th, the team took photos for their follow-up. Toward the end of their work, Robert caught something odd. He said, "When I entered the eighth circle, I was stupefied to see that there was a brand new circle added to the tail. I counted and recounted the circles of the tail. There were 9 circles instead of the 8 we counted before. During our research, there was an extra circle added, just like that, and we didn't hear anything. About 10 minutes before, Jan Willem had taken some samples from the last circle, the 8th, of the tail, and he didn't see a new circle. That was Robert Boerman." The new circle was only 4.5 feet in diameter and felt warm. A sense of wariness arose, driving them to vacate the field. The three men inexplicably felt the circle wasn't ready yet, and the region was not safe to remain in. Another oddity was their phone and camera batteries abruptly dropped in charge. Upon returning home, the batteries returned to their previous levels. Odd indeed. Colin Andrews Wish, Hampshire, UK. Late August 1988, famous researcher Colin Andrews shared a story of how he lay in bed one night and quietly made a mental request. If there really was a non-human intelligence behind the phenomena, would they confirm it? He asked for a Celtic cross to be formed somewhere near his house. To his amazement, the next morning, a call came in. The exact request had formed in the only field yet to be harvested, closest to his residence. Of course, this is just anecdotal evidence. Yes, I agree. Still, I cannot help but give consideration to the source. The Basket, Bishop Cannings, UK. This formation is one of the most unprecedented instances of stalk weaving ever discovered. Several rows of the crop are overlaid, one atop the other. These stalks are not technically woven, with the plants interlaced under and over between rows. Instead, they are flattened, left, right, up, down, in a basket-like pattern. Andreas was first to arrive on the scene at 6:15 a.m. He found no signs of crush marks nor muddy footprints, despite the night's exceptional humidity. Understanding the precarious nature of this plot of land, he immediately called in other investigators and photographers. Using the tram lines, they could make examinations without disturbing the formation with their own prints. The tragedy came into play only a short time thereafter. The farmer became aware of the crop circle and immediately descended on the investigators. Desperate to get them off his property, he held them at bay while a harvester was brought around to completely erase the formation. Thankfully, at least some photos were captured before its destruction. This week I was reading from G.O. Turner's book, UFO Science, Crop Circle Casework. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.